The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our show here on a Saturday morning at 6:05, oh dark 30. Downright cold outside, still in the 40s, low 40s, but we are going to see a high today of 70, as you just heard. I only bring it up again because major news, we may have a big snow coming our way starting tonight into tomorrow, 5 to 10 inches. So get ready. Harley riding during the day, sledding behind the station wagon. Oh, wait, that's what we did back in the 60s. By night, by Sunday. And it's going to be cold all week long, so might as well get ready for it. We're headed to winter. We're headed to Halloween. It's always, seems like it's always, when I was a kid, oh, my goodness, it was always wet, cold, miserable on Halloween. But, you know, you don't care. Now, Alexa notices, first text of the morning on the 710 CanUS app. Happy last warm day of October. Amen, Alexa. She's almost always the first texter of the day now. On every single show, a very loyal listener. Love it. So much to talk about. Over the last many, many weeks, we have speculated, we have hoped, we have wondered, we have instinctively felt like the counter-investigation, the investigation of the investigation itself, was working its way through this frustrating, slow, creeping process, and hoping and praying that somewhere out there, the boomerang that we've been watching for and waiting for, would start to turn around. And just two nights ago, we got word that the investigation going on within the Department of Justice, looking deeply, deeply into what spurred this deep state investigation of the president, the allegations of collusion with Russia to influence the outcome of the election. Where did that all come from? Was it really, as many have speculated, as more and more evidence has come out, have concluded, was this a plot? Was this a plan to try and take down the surprisingly elected Donald Trump? People on the left never believed, never dreamt that this upstart, this loudmouth, this arrogant, pushy, feisty New York businessman in his first ever effort at political office could take down the anointed queen, the heir apparent, the famous red reset button carrying, Benghazi, death ignoring, email hiding, basement server keeping, rapist husband covering up for Democrat presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Never, ever believed. There's no way. She had the blue wall. She had the blue wall on the East Coast that guaranteed the election of Hillary Clinton. She knew it. The left-leaning, left-wing media knew it. Heck, admit it. Most of us, you and I, felt it. It seemed like a tremendous long shot, especially with the October surprises, the sex tape, all of the character assassinations, ignoring, of course, their own history in the Democrat Party from FDR, before FDR, after FDR, culminating with Bill Clinton, the most egregiously, obviously lying to the American public president. It's one thing to just stay quiet, have a compliant media to keep things quiet. Heck, most Americans didn't know FDR was in a wheelchair, much less that he was sleeping with a mistress and probably died in her arms and all of those kinds of things. But Bill Clinton just lied to your face. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Media always on his side. Those evil Republicans just trying to lynch the duly elected president of the United States just because he lied to Congress, just because he embarrassed the office, opens himself up to leverage and pressure and blackmail and all those kinds of things. But it was the Republicans trying to lynch a duly elected president. You heard it. We played it last week, all of the Democrat House members, black and white, using the word lynching. Man, the boomerang has swung back around. And there's some great evidence of it. There was an interview or kind of breaking news on CNN night before last. And it's Anderson Cooper, that very serious, very incisive, very hard-hitting, fact-digging reporter over there at CNN, had scheduled to have Jeffrey Toobin on and James Clapper. And they had plans to talk about something else. And all of a sudden, the news broke that the Department of Justice has gone from an administrative investigation into whether the FBI, CIA, those who brought FISA warrants to courts, those who leaked specific planted stories and information to help build the narrative against President Trump into the media, had moved from an administrative investigation into a criminal investigation. And man, oh man, did that throw Anderson Cooper, Jeffrey Toobin legal analyst, and James Clapper, who has been clapping like a seal for the takedown of this president and is now a subject of the investigation. Boy, did it throw them for a loop. And thanks to the quick and incisive work of Saturday Morning Show producer Kevin Ahern behind the glass, we have got that sound cut up for you, and we are going to jump into it and play it here very, very shortly. But there are a couple of things I want to do before we dig in and analyze where we sit now compared to where we sat, or at least where many in the media were trying to position those Americans who just hear the sound bites and lap up the information and wonder and don't question or challenge or haven't had the time to really dig into what's really been going on for the last 3+ years, even before the president was actually elected. And before he took office, we're going to have some fun with that here in just a few minutes. But a couple of other things I wanted to share with you. And number one, 7 o'clock, we will be joined by Proud Boy Louis Huey. And I met Louis for the very first time at the 921 rally. So many of you were there. And Louis was there. Proud Boys have a... you know, if you watch CNN, MSLSD, read the newspapers, look at the Southern Poverty Law Center, Proud Boys are these right-wing, white supremacist, violent, dangerous attack dogs out there wreaking havoc on poor, innocent, protesting little anti-fascist objectors who are just quietly showing up at, oh, I don't know, CSU for a Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr. event. I'm just showing up to express their opinion and their opposition to this these conservative principles that are being shown to a packed hall at CSU. That's what you'll get out of the media. And Louis Huey was there at CSU. He had a confrontation with Antifa. And he was at 921, gave an impassioned speech about fighting for freedom of speech, freedom to exercise or not religion, freedom to keep and bear arms, and taking on the violent protest groups like Antifa without fear and without worry of the names that are called, the selective sound bites that are used, and all of that. And in New York, just a couple of days ago, two members of the Proud Boys were sentenced to 4 years in prison for, based on my observation of the video, what video that was available of that night, for defending themselves against Antifa. But they refused to take a plea bargain and took their cases to trial in front of a New York jury. Dangerous, dangerous place, I would think, for young men like them. And the judge in New York decided to make an example out of them and not sentence them like you would a normal assault or a street fight, a drunken fight, or even a political protest fight, but sentenced them to 4 years and compared them to Nazis. So after meeting Louis Huey and getting to know more about the Proud Boys and learned a great deal of what I know from my multiple conversations with Michelle Malkin during and between our Labor Day and 921 rallies, thought it would be very interesting to bring him in, and we'll have him in studio at 7 a.m. on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Really looking forward to that. Some good news. We're going to end this segment with good news, and then we'll also open up the phones 303-696-1971. Dig into the Hamina interview of Jeffrey Toobin and James Clapper on CNN. But two good things, two things that you should know, and this even made the front page of your Denver, very thin, Denver Compost. Senator Cory Gardner has joined the resolution slamming the impeachment inquiry. Resolution slamming impeachment inquiry. That's the that is the headline in on page 2 of the Denver Post that headlines the story. There are now only 3 Republicans left from the entire U.S. Senate who have not signed on to Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell's resolution condemning, not that someone is looking into impeachment, and this is how the headline makers are so careful over there at the Denver Post. No one is objecting if there is evidence to looking into purported criminal or high crimes and misdemeanors, completely inappropriate activities of a sitting president of the United States. What they are objecting to is the process that's in play, a process like no other in the limited history, the limited precedent that we have for impeachments and how those investigations got off the ground. What Nancy Pelosi is doing right now is an absolute joke. Historically and fundamentally, if fairness is something that you believe still matters in the United States of America. Instead, we have a star chamber, closed doors. It was announced early on, and boy, how clever these Democrats are, early on, that these inquiries would not involve confidential or classified information that could not be out in the public domain. So these are not classified hearings. And therefore, not only should the opposing party be able to participate, not just watch, not just sit there, not just read a single copy of a transcript while a Democrat babysitter is looking over your shoulder, but actually participate. But the press should be involved as well. There's no reason that the press can't be down there. There's nothing classified about this inquiry. The House of Representatives represents the people. The people need to know if their president has engaged in some kind of wrongful conduct. And you can take that 5-page transcript of the phone call between Trump and the Russian president and read it every which way, up, down, sideways, forward, backwards. It doesn't matter. You cannot make the case from the actual transcript, not what the whistleblowers, the anonymous whistleblowers, who we don't need to hear from now, by the way. Adam Schiff said so. Or the very reliable and responsible and heroic William Taylor, who produced this opening statement that sort of reads like a spy novel or a bad soap opera, without being challenged, without seeing what his actual testimony was, without hearing what the questions were and the answers were. It's all a stage. It is all a setup. And the boomerang has whipped back around and changed the narrative, because now all of the folks who have laid these building blocks for impeachment, that have tried to interfere with and interrupt the agenda, the success, the ability to lead or to exercise his powers as the executive branch leader, president of the United States, all of these efforts may finally come to light. And all us right-wing conspiracy theorists may very well be proven to be correct. The ones who've been willing to look behind the headlines, the ones that have been willing to look at the timeline. The timeline on these allegations of impeachable conduct breaks down if you look at the sequence of events and when certain things occurred. The timeline of all of the leaks that led to the stories, that led to the inquiries, that led to the hemming and hawing in the media as this president was getting ready to be sworn in and take office, that led to a 2-year, $30 or $40 million inquiry into Russia collusion. And when that failed, had to be obstruction. Do you hear them talking about obstruction anymore? Donald Trump obstructed justice when he fired James Comey, the head of the FBI, even though it's his job to decide who he wants running the FBI. All of these plates that have been spinning in the air to keep you distracted away from the underlying processes that were used inappropriately, the scheming, the scheduled and planned and cleverly timed leaks into the media that then allow a story to be generated, that then allow CNN and MSLSD to continue to talk about that story with the caveat using the words may or might or it looks like or whatever. We are going to get a chance to look deep under the hood, as Ross Perot used to say, and see what the mechanics of all of that really turn out to be. But the Denver Post says that Gardner joins resolution slamming impeachment inquiry instead of saying Senator Gardner joins resolution objecting to impeachment inquiry process or impeachment process or investigation process. Because that's what anyone who is looking for fairness, looking for objective facts, looking to be able to hear or see both sides of the story, that's all we're asking for, is an open and fair process, as it should be, when the idea of undoing an election that's now 3 years old, when that's the idea, the American people should have access to the facts. It's really all there is to it. So we've got CNN sound. We've got Wounded Warrior Congressman Steve Scalise really asking the media that very same question. Why aren't you guys interested? Why aren't you demanding to be in that star chamber? Or I mean that basement over there at the Capitol. We'll play some of that for you as well. And when we come back from the break, though, I want to spread a little happy joy. I'm going to check during the break and see what kind of ratings this show on CBS is receiving, the show that's called God Friended Me. But I could not believe when I read and then heard, and you'll hear on the other side of the break, just how this show, in a very positive way, talked with their audience, the watchers of this show, about how beautiful a pro-life, give up for adoption rather than suck into a sink message can be, even on a CBS TV drama. We'll play that. We'll get to all of your calls, 303-696-1971, Louis Huey in studio at 7. And we're going to have some fun today as the worm has turned, the boomerang is swinging back around, and we're here to celebrate it with you right here on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
6:30 on the button, still dark as can be on the last beautiful day of October. Warm and dry today, 70, and then we plummet 5 to 10 inches of snow we could see by Monday morning, and it may continue. It may continue right on through Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We get a warming trend, head back up to the 50s by Friday of next week. So, you know, hang in there. Be ready. Winter is coming. Winter is upon us. Winter is coming hard, fast, and scary for CNN, MSNBC, all of the people who every time there's a breaking news story or an anonymous source reports something, believes that this is now the downfall of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is using the powers of his office to influence an investigation against one of his political opponents. You know what? It is not illegal for a president to talk to the leader of another country, a country with which, we're talking about Ukraine, with which we have a treaty that requires mutual cooperation in investigating corruption. It is not against the law. You can scratch your head and hem and haw and say, that just doesn't feel right to me. But it is not a violation to go ahead and pursue an investigation into actual corruption, the most obvious level of corruption ever. Joe Biden bragging about withholding big, big money from Ukraine, unless they fire a prosecutor who's investigating his son. Bragging about it on tape, the media and the critics of the president have no problem with that. Or at least they sure don't talk about it if they do. That is evidence of quid pro quo. But if a president is talking with the leader of another country, one with whom they have a treaty to investigate corruption, about that corruption, it doesn't become improper or illegal to work with that country to investigate those facts just because one of the subjects or the father of one of the subjects of that corruption happens to be your political opponent. Too bad. So sad. Not impeachable. But the timeline on impeachment is even more curious when you realize that, number one, the money was released. Number two, during the 5-page worth of transcript conversation that President Trump had with the Ukrainian president, the Ukrainian president wasn't even aware there were considerations of withholding aid. Nor do you hear that Donald Trump has been very resistant to giving foreign aid to anyone with whom he disagrees on how the level of cooperation they have with the interests of the United States. What do you think we use federal aid for? What do you think the federal government uses grants to the states for? To direct their behavior. Look, if you comply with us, if you follow our educational guidelines the states are supposed to be individual sovereign units. It's the way our system is designed. And so if the federal government wants to influence a state to follow federal guidelines on certain things, then they dangle money. And they say, look, yeah, you can have this grant, you can have this money, you can have this funding as long as you comply with our rules. Ooh, quid pro quo. Such a joke. Just the monstrous level of drama and intrigue and moral turpitude that is alleged to have happened over the president's very legitimate, reasonable, and proper phone call with the president of Ukraine. But now the boomerang is coming back, and we're lining up some good audio for you. We'll hear that in just a minute. But I did want to share this with you. I don't watch this show. I really don't watch much in the way of, serial TV programs. Sometimes I'll binge watch. I've seen all of Game of Thrones and, you know, some of the intense dramas. But there's no CBS shows that I'm sitting down and following these days. And I wondered about this one, the show God Friended Me. I've seen, previews when it was first coming out, and it sounded like an interesting concept. I was very skeptical about how CBS would utilize this premise, and I don't know enough about the show to know whether they mock God or who knows, or use, you know, these messages from God to advance the leftist version of what Jesus would do. You know, we hear that line sometimes, and certain policies are being discussed. But I was really touched, really moved when I stumbled across on Newsbusters, newsbusters.org, this beautiful, beautiful clip of a young woman who gave up her baby for adoption, and I guess returns to the city where all that occurred to try and unseal the files on the baby she gave up so she could see who the parents were. Anyway, I was captivated enough by the story to listen to the clip, and after I heard it, I knew that I wanted to share it with you. And here it is. This is from the apparently faith-friendly show on CBS, or at least in this particular instance, it was a pro-life-friendly show, and here's a clip from God Friended Me from CBS.
I know you lost your grandfather 6 months ago.
Yeah, so what?
I read the tribute that you wrote about him. Sounds like an amazing guy.
He was. He grew up in Hawaii. Oh, he was an incredible surfer. My parents split when I was young, and he moved to Chicago and raised me on his own. When I got pregnant and decided I wasn't ready to be a mother, he was so supportive. He told me that giving her up didn't mean that I didn't love her. It meant that I loved her enough to make sure she could have the best life possible. The life that I couldn't give her back then.
And so, you know, if you recorded this show and you intend to watch it, maybe turn off the radio right now or turn it down for just a minute, because I'm going to report what this Newsbusters article says about the way the show wraps up. The woman who you heard, her name is Joy, was actually able to unseal the adoption records, make contact with her biological daughter, make a connection with her by giving her a picture of her great-grandfather to know more about her heritage, letting her know that he was a world-class surfer in Hawaii. The man that Joy is talking about that raised her and supported her decision when she became pregnant to give up the baby for adoption. And apparently the adoptive parents are also shown as very loving and supporting and affirming their daughter's desire to make this connection to her history. So they helped facilitate this. If you don't know, adoption records are supposed to be sealed, and the identity of adoptive parents cannot be, typically cannot be opened up to the mother who gave up the child for adoption unless there's a court order and a process and people agree. And I don't know how they play all this in the TV show. But here, I guess what was so amazing to see on a regular network show, and it's just so rare, that they showed this beautiful message of how powerful an adoption can be, and a mother talking about being supported in her decision to have her baby, bring her baby to term, and then give her up for adoption because she couldn't take care of her. Instead of just pounding on the podium about how it's a woman's medical decision, has to make the decisions about her own body. Yeah. Unless there's another body, another breathing, heart-beating soul involved. And right now, the media and the courts would have you believe that it's okay to just suck that individual human life right out and into a sink. Anyway, I was moved by that clip. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll get back to our boomerang celebration as the worm begins to turn on the deep state and all the folks who have had their way for almost 3 years, still unable to stop this president, unable to take him down, unable to chip away to any significant amount. Although one wonders where his popularity would be and his approval ratings and all of those things if it wasn't a 24-hour-a-day, round-the-clock assault on every word, every action. Everything's a crime. Illegitimate president. All of those. We just take them for granted now that that's what almost half of the population think, because that's what we hear in 90% of the media. One wonders where the approval ratings would be if there wasn't that steady drumbeat against this president every time we turn around. But the timing of all of this, when you look ahead a year to go now before the election, how can you not be incredibly excited if you are a supporter of this president, his amazing success, results, pro-America policies, that this is all starting to come out right now? The Democrats were in a real difficult situation. They can't beat him on policy. They don't have a presidential candidate up there on that debate stage right now that could hold a candle to him on a debate stage. They don't have policies that are attractive to that vast middle of America that decides elections. So they have to continue to just make Trump an unacceptable alternative to enough people. It's the only thing they can do. And they have to do it by making stuff up. And so they really couldn't wait, could they? They had to get this thing started. If they'd have brought this impeachment inquiry next year, you know, April, May, June, then it would have been so obvious. So many people would have said, wait a minute. There's an election coming up. We'll decide. Everything else that they tried had failed. And so this is kind of the Hail Mary. And they had to do it now. And the timing could not have been better for the eventual success of this president. And you will see just how shaken good old Anderson Cooper, legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, and James Clapper, who is one of the people now under criminal investigation, just how shaken they are. We'll play some of those cuts when we return here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan at 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Looks like we're going to see some law and order. Attorney General Barr is on the job. And man, the counter narrative was immediate. When the New York Times broke the story that the investigation, the administrative investigation into the origins of the Russia-Trump collusion narrative and investigation had turned from administrative to criminal. The New York Times then went on and wrote paragraph after paragraph to set the stage, set the narrative for the rest of the mainstream, lamestream media about how clearly now the president is utilizing his Department of Justice to push back on the impeachment, to try and distract and divert and go after his enemies. Not even a hint of neutrality, a hint of, you know, a statement like, well, let's see where this investigation goes. What facts do we have? It was reported last night, I saw this on Twitter by Mark Levin, that Andy McCabe, former FBI director, had been offered a plea deal for cooperation, for testimonial cooperation, and that he turned that down. And so Prosecutor Huber has moved to impanel a grand jury. We know he is one of the targets. We know he's one of the targets. The text messages are just pouring in on the impeachment farce. Here's one from Mark. Good morning, Randy. What really irritates me is the star chamber way they're doing things. You know, I would think it would be illegal not to include Republicans and President Trump's lawyer. If we would have done this to Obama, there would have been so much outrage. And to be clear, there are Republicans in the room, but their hands are tied. They can't bring in witnesses. They're not supposed to talk about what goes on inside, just the carefully planned and strategized leaks from Schiff. They can't have a copy of the transcript of testimony. They can only sit in a room and read it with a Democrat babysitter looking over their shoulder. It's absolutely crazy. And another anonymous texter, this impeachment farce could also be a planned impediment to another SCOTUS appointment, Supreme Court appointment. RBG shouldn't be buying any green bananas, and fancy Nancy Pelosi knows it. There is no question that the strategy, the tools that the Democrats are willing to use are unlimited. They will do anything to try and, you know, a president who's under impeachment, who's under the cloud of impeachment, should not be allowed to nominate a Supreme Court justice, especially during an election year. We can get into whether that's appropriate or not another time. But in light of those two texts, I think it's very important for you to hear from Steve Scalise, the congressman who was shot, almost killed, when I was with him in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. Eyes are clear, voice is strong, moves with authority, but he walks with a cane, a brace, something that wraps around his wrist and that he holds on to with his hand because of his injuries, ongoing suffering from that shooting. And here's what he had to say about the Star Chamber.
And we came today to express our strong outrage at what's happening in that secret room. And what was interesting is as we got into the room to listen to the hearing, we actually wanted to hear what was going on so that we could know, so that our constituents can have a voice that they deserve in this impeachment inquiry. And as soon as we went into the room, Adam Schiff hadn't even started the hearing, which, by the way, Schiff pointed out himself was not a classified hearing. So again, begs the question, why aren't members of Congress allowed to come into an unclassified hearing dealing with impeachment of the president? Why aren't you as the press allowed to go into an unclassified hearing to find out what's really going on?
Why doesn't the press care about that? Why aren't they? Remember when Jim Acosta, when Donald Trump said, I'm pulling your press pass. You're rude. You interrupt. You're not here to gather news. You're here to be the story, not get the story. And we're pulling your press pass. All of the media, including the disappointing Fox News, jumped on board and said, oh, my God. Jim Acosta has a constitutional right to be in a press conference. Really? There's 100 other reporters in there. But they all came together around that. but it's okay to have a Star Chamber inquiry about the impeachment of a president, the removal from office, because it's a fact-gathering Star Chamber. And the press could care less that they're not allowed to be down there, even though it was announced at the beginning that there would not be classified information sought, classified testimony given.
Every member of Congress ought to be allowed in that room. The press ought to be allowed in that room. And when we got there, and we were there peacefully, we were there to hear what was going on. We actually wanted to hear the witness. And instead, when he left, he threatened us. Adam Schiff threatened us. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to stand up to his threat. We're not going to bow down to his threats. We're going to represent the voices of the millions of Americans that our districts represent. The vast majority of members of Congress, by the way, who are not allowed to be in that room, ought to be in. Everybody ought to be able to see what's going on in this inquiry, including members of Congress and the press, so that our constituents can see what's going on.
Oh, the left is so screwed. I just love the timing of all this and how the unfolding, the unrolling, the determination of the actual facts going back to the original Russia collusion, delusion with Trump narrative. As those facts come out, unbelievable. And I want to remind you, there's only a couple days left to get your tickets. Can you imagine what Michelle Malkin and Dennis Prager are going to have to say about all this? You can come and see for yourself. Countdown to 2020, The War for America's Soul. It's this Tuesday. And I'll be filling in for Stephen Tubbs, so I won't be there for the VIP or anything. But I thought this thing started earlier. It doesn't start till 7 o'clock, and I've looked at the schedule. The meat of it will give me time to fly over there after the after doing Stephen Tubbs' show. Stephen is emceeing the event. So I hope you will get tickets and come and see me and everybody else, especially if you're a 921er. We've got buttons now to give out. Some anonymous donor brought them to my office. Hundreds of them from the, and one set of the buttons is for the Labor Day ICE rally. The other is for the 921 ICE rally. And we'll be giving those out over there. Please join us for Countdown to 2020, The War for America's Soul. You can get your tickets still at 710knus.com. And it's brought to you in part by Alpha One Tax and Wealth. You can find them online at alpha1wealth.com. We'll be back with Louie Huey from the Proud Boys. Be proud to talk to him in studio next on 710 KNUS.